Brothers and sisters, it's a joy to be able to come back before you this afternoon, and as we endeavor to try to engage in the divine worship service of our Almighty God. We certainly have enjoyed the services and our time here that we've been blessed to be able to come and be a part of these services. I appreciate the invitation, appreciate the wonderful hospitality that we've been afforded while we have been here, my wife and I certainly desire your prayers that you would pray for me this afternoon, the time that I stand here before you, that it would be to the honor of God, that it would be to the edifying and uplifting of you, the body of Christ here at this time right now, and that we would be able to feed forth and feed upon the richness of God's precious word, that the Spirit of God would attend unto us and attend unto the word of God. The Lord would take us all unto a very nearness and closeness unto him, that we would feel of his heartfelt presence here this afternoon. We're not just endeavoring trying to have a series of meetings. We're not just endeavoring trying to have another service or to say we had an afternoon service. If it's not benefit, if it's not to the honor and glory of God and the edifying of the body of Christ, then we might as well not be meeting together. But I tell you, I trust that our minds are centered upon the Lord, and we're looking to him by faith and expecting him to visit us here this afternoon in a sweet and wonderful way. I rejoice with you in your celebrating of this 100th anniversary of Bethel Primitive Baptist Church, and of your faithfulness and of the faithfulness of those that have already gone on, and then of course of you that are here now and the other members that may not be present but are also faithful to the church. And carrying on, a church does not just continue by accident. It just does not continue just in itself. But there are gospel labors. First of all, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is first and foremost. And he is certainly the one that we're looking to. He's the one that we are relying upon to enliven and energize and to bless the church and to give forth the spiritual food as God's people meet together. But there are certainly those things that we have to do in attendance unto the house of the Lord, that we must be faithful in the upkeep and the keeping of it. The Lord gave a beautiful created garden to Adam, and the Lord told him to keep it and to dress it. And I tell you, that's what the Lord has provided for us here in the earth, the gospel kingdom, his church, a local body of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how great this institution of the Lord is, how great this establishment of the gospel kingdom, the militant church, the visible church, you, the local body here in this place, raised up to the honor and to the glory of Almighty God. And therefore we give him praise and honor and glory, for indeed he is worthy. And the Lord expects out of us to continue on in the good way and keep in his house and being faithful in his house. In Hebrews the 3rd chapter, and I'm not going to turn there and read any, but I just want to say this. As far as Hebrews the 3rd chapter, the Bible talks about how that Moses was faithful in his house, that Old Testament house, that old economy, back there under the law of God, leading the children of Israel out and giving them his law and so forth, and establishing them as a people in the earth. And that's the house, and God sent Moses over that house, and Moses was faithful in it. But I tell you, there came one greater than Moses that has a house, and God gave him a house, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father gave unto him the gospel kingdom, and he is King of kings and Lord of lords over it, and he's ruling over his house today. Paul went on to tell those brethren that we would continue to be his house if there was a condition upon it. This doesn't have anything to do with heaven above or immortal glory, but it has all all to do with our service and our receiving benefit and blessing here in this life in the gospel kingdom as we live and endeavor to serve God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Father gave Jesus a house and he's the Son over his own house, and we are his house if we continue faithful with the confidence and rejoicing unto the end. There is laid upon us the requirements. There is laid upon us the keeping of the house. There is laid upon us of the prayer and the vigil and the safeguarding and the attendance to, and not neglecting the church, not neglecting the house of the Lord. And when I speak of the house of the Lord, I'm talking about the lively stones that are built into a lively building. Oh, a church, a local body. I'm just as churchy as Noah was Arky. I believe in the local church, the local assembly. Now I tell you, as far as the faith, practice, and order, and the constitution of the church, she's but one. We understand that. But there are many local individual bodies, wherever they are, that are set up and planted with the Lord's own right hand of planting. And they're his church. As long as we hold fast and keep and look to and do not neglect what the good Lord has given unto us. It's the same way as the apostle taught in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, speaking of the great salvation and telling us not to neglect so great salvation. Now, in telling us not to neglect this so great salvation, what is he saying? He's not telling us that if we neglect it, that if we don't hold out faithful to the end, that if we don't give the service that we ought to, that we're going to lose a home in heaven. That's not what he's talking about. But he's telling us, because that we know and realize of this great salvation that God has given through Jesus Christ his Son, then we should not neglect it. We should not turn our backs. We should not walk away. We should be faithful. We should give attendance to reading and prayers and supplication for all saints, and labor with all of the God-given strength that we have in the local assembly of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus constituted and built here upon this earth. I submit unto you that Jesus Christ, he's the architect, he's the builder, he established his gospel church while he was here on this earth. She was established on the banks of the Jordan River. Now, there's a lot of folks, they'll say, well, what about the Old Testament prophecy that talks about the Lord establishing his church in the top of the mountain? And there are folks that will go to where the Lord called the disciples aside to the top of the mountain. And that was where, in the giving of the Beatitudes and so forth, he constituted his church. No, I tell you, the Bible says that he gave first unto the church apostles. Amen. The Lord set up and constituted the church, and is the founder of the church before he ever called the apostles. There had to be a church for him to give the apostles to. If he gave first to the church apostles, then there had to be a church for him to first give the apostles to. I tell you, when Jesus, and I'll tell you how that prophecy was fulfilled. If you'd have been there on the banks of the Jordan River when John baptized Jesus that day, you would have thought that you were in the top of the mountain. It wasn't talking about a geographical place, but it's talking about the experience of it. It's talking about the lifting up of it. It's talking about a heaved up, lifted up place. And that's what heaven is. And I tell you, it was a heaven that day. It was a heaved up, lifted up place when Jesus traveled the miles that he traveled and came to John and was baptized in the River Jordan and established and set up his church. It was a glorious time. And even the Father from heaven set forth as the heavens opened, and the Spirit in the form of a dove lit upon him and abode upon him. For you see, John had already said, John the Baptist, it is written of him in the Apostle John's Gospel in the 1st chapter. John the Baptist said this, he that sent me to baptize, He said also to me, of whom you see the Spirit descend upon and remain upon, he's the one. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus came to John to be baptized of him. And of course, John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. And Jesus said, suffer to fulfill all righteousness. And they went down in the water, and Jesus was baptized, put beneath the water, and came up straightway out of the water from beneath, from being put under the water. And when he did, the heavens opened and the Spirit of God lit upon him in the form of a dove and abode upon him. And John knew of an certainty that that was the Christ, because the Spirit lit on him and remained upon him. And also the old prophet said that there would come the time, that this prophesied one, that he would come suddenly or quickly to his temple. I tell you that he came suddenly and quickly there on the banks of the Jordan River and established and constituted his church here upon this earth. I submit unto you, I believe it's so strong that he's the first baptized member of his gospel church. Jesus is our founder. I remember hearing Elder Ricky Harcrow make the statement some time ago, a few years back, that he was looking in some history book, and he gave the record of many nominal and different orders of people. And when he looked under Primitive Baptist, he gave the head of the head of the Primitive Baptist, or its location of its headquarters was Thornton, Arkansas, and of Elder Casey. I want to tell you, the Primitive Baptist Church was way before then. Amen. A lot of men don't understand. We don't have, amen, a local or a national headquarters. Amen. This is the kingdom of heaven, because heaven is the mother country. Do you understand? Heaven's the mother country. That's why it's the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God is one and the same. How can it be both? Because it's kingdom of heaven. Heaven's the mother country. And God is the king. Amen. God is the king. Oh, and heaven's the mother country. And thank God, one of these days, we're going to live in that country. And we won't be a stranger there, but we'll feel quite at home. You know, there were some 70 souls that went down into Egypt. Some 70 souls that went down into Egypt. And some 430 years later, they returned and went back again. Somebody said, well, they didn't. They had died. That's right. The original 70 souls, 70 persons had. But you see, their descendants, their offspring, they went back. Amen. To the land of Canaan by the mighty deliverance and power of God. It was just as though they were returning home. Amen. Because that's where their folks were from. I want to tell you, amen, our kindred, our elder brother, that's where he's from. Jesus said, for I came down from heaven. That's exactly where he came down from. I came down from heaven. He is from above. He is from that upper and better world, and he came down here. Oh, there was a highlander that came to a lowland, to do the work that had to be done to ensure that lowlanders could get to a highland. And we're not going to be there, as it's been said many a times, of ourselves or our own ability, but we're going to go in sweeping on the coattail of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to be there because of him. We're going to be there simply because of what he has done. But our blessed Lord, he is the head of the church. He constituted the church. He set the local, set his church up in their local assemblies of his church. He gave first into the church of apostles, and I would like to direct your attention. That's the introduction. I'd like to direct your attention to Acts, the second chapter, and that we could realize starting in the 38th verse, Acts 2:38. Certainly, this was a lady of another order of people, but the pastor spoke a lot about Acts 2:38, and he would tell the folks, if you ever get in trouble, just say Acts 2:38, Acts 2:38, and so one night, she was being broke in. Her home was being broke into. And she began to scream out, Acts 2:38, Acts 2:38. And I'm sorry for telling this. But I'm reminded of this every time I ever turn to this text. It was was told for the truth. And she started hollering Acts 2:38. And one of the burglars said to the other, said, "We better get out of here. That old lady's got an axe and 2:38. And said, "We better leave." I want to tell you, Acts 2:38 is a powerful text. And I don't know if it worked, though, if you ever got in that kind of trouble. But here's the Apostle Peter said, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now I submit unto you that these people that Peter's telling them to repent, that he's telling them to have a turn of mind, that he's telling them to have a different thinking, that he's telling them to look to the Lord. He goes on down, and with many other words, he exhorts them, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." Peter is not telling these folks to repent in order to become children of God. It's already evidence that these folks are born again children of God. They've been pricked in their heart. They are hearing the message that Peter's preaching. Peter is telling them that they were guilty of crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. They are pricked in their heart, and they cry out, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And then this is what Peter tells them. When Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins," or the forgiveness of sins. That word "for" there means because of. It's not that they would get eternal forgiveness of their sins. But he's saying, if you will repent, if you will turn, if you will obey the gospel, if you will come into membership in this local body, this church that Jesus built, the church here in Jerusalem, you will feel a clearness. You will feel a justification in your heart. You will feel a realizing. You will feel the realization through obedience that your sins have been forgiven and that you have a great hope of heaven as your home. I believe that's what Peter was telling them there that day on the day of Pentecost when he gave them these instructions. He did tell them to repent. He told them to be baptized, for that was the admission into. That is the obedience, and that would be coming into the local body of the church through water baptism. We understand as we publish the open door of the church, and there are those that come forth and offer themselves for membership, and we receive them upon the basis of their profession of faith of Christ and so forth, and they are subjects for water baptism. And we say that after they are actually baptized, then they have the rights and privileges and benefits of the local church. But you see, if we had just had a service and published the open door of the church, and someone had come forward and joined the church received them, and then the church had already scheduled to have communion and feet washing and didn't have time to baptize that person, or wasn't convenient to baptize them, they couldn't go in and engage in that communion service. They couldn't go into that feet washing service because they hadn't been baptized. You see, it hadn't been completed. That is the actual procedure. That's the marriage ceremony, if you please. For also in Isaiah chapter 62, talking about the gospel kingdom, the church of Christ here in the earth, said that she'd be called by a new name, and how that new, would be Beulah, meaning a married land. I tell you, there are those that sing about Beulah land as in the future, after death, or at the end of time when people are in heaven above in immortal glory. But I want to tell you, in the scriptural reference of it, do you know that here today you're in Beulah land? You're in Beulah land. You're in the gospel Beulah land. You're in a married land. We're married to our head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you, the church, it's something that's serious. Well, we should have our dealings with the church in a serious manner. It's not lightly. It's just as entered into marriage, and how that the minister will say to the couple and to those in attendance concerning marriage, that is not to be entered into into unadvisedly, but reverently and discreetly, and so forth, those type lines and things. And I tell you, it's the same way with the gospel church. It's those that feel the burden and the weight of sin, that feel that their only hope of being with God in heaven is through Jesus Christ, and that they have a love in their heart for the Lord and have a desire to live with God. You see, our enemies and our critics, they say that the doctrine of election is a leaving out doctrine. Well, I want to tell you that's not true. The doctrine of election is a putting in doctrine. You understand that? Amen. All of humanity was left out through Adam. All the lump of clay of humanity is defiled and corrupt. Oh, but God, through election, He put a people in. And I'll tell you another thing. When folks begin to narrow election and say, well, what if this person wanted to be in and this person wanted to be in, but that circle of election didn't include them? I want to tell you, their circle just is not large enough. Because though individuals that have a desire to live with God in heaven and a genuine love for God and want to be with God, I'm not talking about just folks that wants fire insurance. And I'm talking about folks that really have a genuine love for God and an interest in spiritual things. That means that they're not a natural man as far as just having a natural nature, but they have a spiritual nature. And I tell you that every last one of them will live with God in glory. That's part of what we believe. That's part of what we're founded upon. I was reading your articles of faith out here. And we have articles of faith. Now, that's not all that we believe. But you have enough in those articles of faith that draws the distinguishing lines that will give in a nutshell and show a difference between you, Bethel Primitive Baptist Church, than other quote-unquote churches. And you see, if it was everything we believe, we'd just have to rewrite the Bible again, you know. Our articles of faith are not to list everything we believe. This Bible is what we believe. And in our article of faith, it says that we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, that they are the Word of God, and our only rule of faith and practice. This is what we adhere to. This is what we go by. And this rule is for everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, from the poorest to the richest, from the lowest to the highest. There are no big I's and little U's. There are no respecter of persons in the membership of the local church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord together, and we should know no man after the flesh. Let me say a little bit about that. You know, so many times, families and families make up the churches, and that's great, and that's the way it is. And the first institution was the family. And if you don't have strong families, you're not going to have a strong church. I hope you believe that. But sometimes with family members, people can know each other after the flesh, as far as in a church sense, and can be a little partial to their own flesh and blood. And if there be those that have erred and those that need to come under disciplinary measures and so forth, that there would be those that say, well, now this is my son, or this is my daughter, this is my cousin, this is this one. But the scripture says, no man after the flesh. We don't deal with one another in the gospel kingdom, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to natural ties and natural families. We are one family because of Christ in Christ. You see, you have a great diversification of people. You have folks from all walks of life, of different and varied interests, of different occupations and different careers, and things of that nature, different hobbies. And some of you have very little in common far as this world goes, of things like that nature, far as with others. But you see, what joins us together, what keeps us together, what we're united in and around is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He has to stay a sinner. That's why in our mind and in our essence, estimation. We have to continue to realize that the church is centered around him. The church is not centered around me. I tell you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was getting along all right before I came, and it'll be doing all right when I leave somewhere here on this earth. And let me say this too, that no individual church has any guarantee of any certain place to be here when the Lord comes back. That goes back to the conditions. But I tell you, the church will be somewhere here in the earth. It will be. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. His church will never fail. His church will never cease. But we can behave ourselves as a body in such a way and shoot ourselves in the foot and make such fatal mistakes until the Lord would be ashamed of us, remove the candlestick, bring judgment upon us. We either stand or fall before our head. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I believe in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus, starting in verse 13, came over the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answered him, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? It was Simon Peter that answered and said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christos. Thou art the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus told him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed art thou, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. I say unto thee that thou art a little stone. Thou art a pebble. Thou art a grain of sand. Oh, but upon this rock, upon this mighty boulder, upon this unmovable boulder, this rock, amen, talking about God himself, amen, Jesus Christ, the foundation, the head of his church, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I tell you, the very institution that Jesus established and set up here in the earth, it will not fail, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It will be somewheres in the earth when he comes again. But I know what you're interested in, because this is where you are, wherever, and if you're a visitor, wherever your membership is, wherever your local assembly is, that's where you need to be concerned the most. It's like that old saying, you've got to keep the home fires burning. Brothers and sisters, you've got to keep the fires burning here at Bethel. Amen. You've got to keep keeping house for the Lord. It's not enough to have 100 years under your belt. Oh yes, take a few moments and rejoice and praise God for the past. Oh, but lift up your head and look forward and realize that your best days can be before you. Realize that the God that has kept you and has preserved you and taken care of you and has helped you overcome difficulties and problems and situations. Yes, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel church, it's just like the land of Canaan. It's a land of valleys and hills. It's not all the time on the mountaintop. There's valleys. But you know, you got to go through the valley to get to the next mountain. And we need to keep that in mind. Always to keep that in view. Just like our life is a mixture of joys and sorrows. And that's the way it is. And so it is in the church. And when the sorrowful times are here, when the times that we have to face that we had rather not, but yet we have to stand, as Elder Mazingo preached to us this morning, we can't desert the post. We can't retreat. We've got to stand. We've got to keep on praying. We've got to keep on being faithful and knowing the God that blessed us in latter years, that God that raised us up, and that we're his own planning, that he'll be the God that will continue to be with us and to bless us and to carry us on through. But we've got to be faithful unto him. And as the elder preached and talked about the gift, God's given you a great gift. He's given you a great edifice. He's here. He's given you a building sufficient for decades, for generations to come, and so forth. Be mindful with having this wonderful facility know that we ever realize the spiritual emphasis in the feeding of God's people, and knowing that this building would be of no use if there wasn't hungry children of God to fill it up. Oh, if it wasn't, if it's not for those that will hunger and thirst after righteousness to be filled. Oh, this is just a building when it comes down to it. You know, Jesus is not so impressed with buildings. Bear with me. Bear with me, okay? Jesus is not so impressed with buildings. They came to show him the beautiful buildings of the temple, and he said, "There'll not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down." You see, they had their faith and looking to in their religious structure and in their religious worship that they had, but it was a forsaken of the true worship of God. I tell you, since the last time they had heard from God, it had been 400 years, and they had so perverted the law, they had so perverted God's divine worship system that it wasn't even recognizable when John the Baptist and Jesus Christ appeared on the scene. Oh, they had changed it so. And so therefore, Jesus wasn't impressed with the outward. Oh, he talked about those Pharisees. He said, on the outside, you're washed white, and oh, it looks good and all of this, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. Oh, let's be as beautiful inside as this building is on the outside. Amen. Let's adorn the doctrine. Hello now. Amen. Let's adorn the doctrine. Oh, let's with our life of righteousness. I know we're not perfect, and we will not attain unto that until the resurrection. But thank God for that hope that we have in that. Oh, but let us strive, oh, to be found diligent in the service of the Lord, realizing, oh, that he is the Lord of the harvest, that he is the Lord of his church, that he is the Lord that we stand before, and that we come daily before the judgment seat of Christ. And we give an account of the things done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. We give an account, and we give an account as a church. Now, I want to bring something else before you here real quickly in this chapter. Still here in Acts chapter 2, as Peter goes on. Then they that gladly, in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, doctrine comes from a Latin word that has to do with teaching. A doctrine is no more than a teaching that has been taught. The apostles did not have a doctrine in and of themselves. It was the Lord's teaching that was their doctrine. And that's what they taught the church that they were first given unto. Jesus, according to John 3:34, he had the Holy Ghost without measure. The apostles had a great measure of the Holy Ghost and served in that office of apostle. Now, we don't have any new apostles since them. We still have apostles. It's just that it's them. Amen. It's them. And we have them through this Bible here, through the letters. We have the Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentile. And guess what? That's what we are, Gentiles. And he's our apostle. And over half of the New Testament is written by him. We still have the Apostle Paul. It's just through his epistles. Now, somebody said, oh, I'd have loved to have heard the Apostle Paul preached. Well, I don't know if you would or not. Remember, he preached to midnight one time, and there's a man fell out of the window. You know, we can't, you know, folks won't stay that late now to hear preaching. So I don't know if we'd want the Apostle Paul or not. And he'd have been tough. You think old Baptist preachers are tough today? You hadn't heard anything. What if John the Baptist? What if you heard him? Old generation of vipers who have warned you to flee the wrath to come. You know, he looked like a wild man. His meat was locusts and wild honey. And Brother Lonnie talking about his clothes are wonderful compared to John the Baptist's clothes. Amen. Certainly they were. When we think about this and understand of the apostles' doctrine, that they preached, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave them. Now, there's four things given here: the apostles' doctrine, and that they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. But here's what I want to focus in on. They continue steadfastly in fellowship with the apostles. You ever noticed that there? They were in fellowship with the apostles. Now, you know, Old Baptist has this that a lot of times is talked about. We're in fellowship with this church, or we're not in fellowship with this church. We're in fellowship with this association. We're not in fellowship with these. Well, you know, let's just don't pay so much close attention to that. I tell you what we need to pay real, real close attention to. And I want to ask you this question. Are we in fellowship with the apostles? Now that's the question. Are we in fellowship? And when I say, are we in fellowship with the apostles? Do we have the same doctrine? Are we practicing the same practice that those doctrines of the New Testament church set forth here in the New Testament that is given to us? Are we in fellowship? Are we adhering to the old path? Now, the problem with a lot of folks is their old path is not old enough. A lot of folks, when they harp about old past, they're only going back 100 years. They're only going back 150 years. You want to talk about the old past? Let's get back 2,000 years ago. Let's get back to the first century church. Let's get back here to these paths here that we see of the church at Jerusalem. And then as the word of God was sounded out and the churches were established and constituted, and as the apostles wrote unto these folks and told them what we believe and what we practice and how we carry on in the house of God. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm asking you a question. Do you believe it's important of how we carry on in the house of God? I believe it is. And I believe the word of God addresses it. And that's what we should be concerned about. Are we in line? Are we in fellowship with the apostles in their doctrine, in their fellowship, in their practice, in their discipline? Are we endeavoring to carry on the best that we know how as God's word here in this New Testament lays out for us and gives us the instructions? We need to judge ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. The Apostle Paul told him one occasion, he said, to examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. We need to continually to do that. And I'm not talking about just at communion time. You know, I'm talking about every day of our life as we go along, as 1 year rolls in and another year rolls out. And you older ones, your heads are blooming for glory. The almond tree is blooming. Your white and gray head. Many of the old saints that was here that you remember, of your moms and dads and of your people and so forth, that have already gone on to glory. And I look around and I see those, the middle-aged and younger ones, you older ones, you keep setting the good example before these middle-aged and the younger ones. You keep teaching them how to carry on in the house of God. You keep teaching them to be faithful to their head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to come into these gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and to sing his praises, and to call out to him in prayer, and for the elder to come forth and to preach the unsearchable riches of the word of God and to feed the flock of God. Amen. The word of God doesn't instruct us to make sheep. It teaches us to feed sheep. And that's what the Lord told Peter. You know, he asked him three times, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You know, Peter denied the Lord three times, didn't he? And the Lord asked him three times, lovest thou me more than these? Peter would say, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus would say, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. The Apostle Paul in Acts 20 and 28, when he calls the elders at Ephesus together, and as he's passing through and on his way to Jerusalem and then to go to Rome, and eventually to give of himself in martyrdom in the gospel service of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he calls those elders and he says, take heed therefore to yourself and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Peter said, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom I am also an elder. Peter was an apostle, but he said he was an elder. He said he was an elder, who am also an elder. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed God's people. This is a feeding station. Amen. This is a healing center. Amen. Where children of God that are down and depressed and burdened with the weight and heaviness of sin and feeling to be a pilgrim and a stranger here in this low ground, this old world system that is antichrist against God and His Christ. We, a lot of times, we don't feel at home. We feel out of sorts here. Oh, but this is a place where healing and comfort can go on. Oh, the church is not a showcase for saints. The church is made up of sinners that are trying to do better. Amen. We're sinners trying to do better by the help and mercy and grace of God and by getting more instructions from God's word. Let us hold up the example of one who is perfect. Let us hold up our example, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us look to Him and to Him make that comparison. Don't ever compare yourselves one to another. The Bible teaches us not to do that. Oh, well, I think I attend church about as much as so-and-so does. I think I give about as much as so-and-so does. So-and-so's not the standard. So-and-so's not the measure. Who's the measure? Christ. Christ is the measure. Oh, there's many more things, but I think that'll be sufficient. Thank you this afternoon for your kind attention. I pray that these things would be of blessing to you and that God would take these and bless them deep into your pure mind. That new creature, amen, that's where that pure mind is in that new creation. And, I don't want to stir up your carnal mind. No, I might not get out of here alive. No, but I want to try by way of remembrance to try to stir up your pure mind, because out of your new man, out of your new nature is that pure mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind of Christ, and it's not in your natural nature, it's in your spiritual nature. God bless you is my prayer. I've enjoyed trying to talk to you. You pray for me, and God bless you.